did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight, and by Spotlight Branding, helping to build your internet foundation. I use Daylight as my case management tool. It organizes all my cases, clients, my calendar, to-dos, and emails all in one app that's with me on my Mac, iPhone, and iPad. I use Daylight on my own, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases, delegate tasks to each other, and see everyone's schedule, all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools I use to stay organized and increase efficiency. Visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight for free for 30 days. And be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. This episode is also brought to you by my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. Visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. spotlightbranding.com/TLE, brought to you by our friends at Spotlight Branding. Welcome, law entrepreneurs, to episode 52 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host, as always. And today we have a great guest, the one and the only Marcus Sheridan, the sales lion. I met Marcus through Cadre DC, and to say that he's an engaging speaker is a really an understatement. And that's going to come out real clear when you hear this interview. But a little bit about Marcus. In 2001, fresh out of college, he stumbled across his first business with two friends and began installing swimming pools out of the back of a beat-up old pickup truck. 9 years later, with the help of incredible innovations through inbound and content marketing, Marcus's company overcame the collapse of the housing market and became one of the largest pool installers in the United States and currently has the most visited swimming pool website in the world. That's River Pools and Spas. Checking them. With each success in late 2009, Marcus started his sales, marketing, and personal development blog, known as The Sales Lion, and has since grown The Sales Lion brand to be synonymous with inbound and content marketing excellence, while being featured in multiple industry publications, including the New York Times, where he was referred to as a, quote, web marketing guru, end quote. Today, when Marcus Sheridan is not giving riveting and passion-filled keynotes, and I really mean riveting and passion-filled, there's something to behold, either at a conference or a consultation, he generally finds himself on an adventure with his wife and four children. He's a podcaster and just an all-around great guy. So without further ado, here is Marcus Sheridan. Marcus Sheridan, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Neil, my pleasure, bud. I'm very excited to be here, and hopefully I'll say something of value to the audience today.
Oh, I'm sure you will. As we mentioned in the intro, Marcus is known fondly as the sales lion, and I don't think there's a moniker that fits somebody as succinctly and as perfectly as that does for you. Marcus, tell our audience a little bit how you came to earn that title and what you're all about.
I actually, my history, I'm going to give it to you in the 30-second version. I started out of college a swimming pool company in 2001 called River Pools, and things were, know, going okay. We were trying to grow it, and it was growing, but, you know, we were having our battles like everybody else. But then 2008 happened, the crash, and it looked like we were going to lose our business. By 2009, I was 3 weeks where I was overdrawn in our business bank account. I had 16 employees sitting home with nothing to do. And I was maxed out on all my credit cards. And three consultants said, you should file bankruptcy.
Sounds like a scary moment.
Yeah, well, it sucked. It did. But you know what's funny about it? It's usually those bad moments that stretch us, that force us to think outside of necessarily the way that we've been doing it before, Neil. And that's when I started to read about the internet. And that's when I started to look at digital, look at the way that I had changed as a buyer. And I read all those phrases, content marketing, inbound marketing, social media marketing, digital. But you know, really what I heard was, Marcus, if you just hear the questions, issues, worries, concerns that your potential customers are asking and you're willing to address them through text and video on your website, you just might be successful. So our philosophy became four simple words, which of course is they ask, you answer. And that's the title of my book, but that's our philosophy. And we embrace it. And today it is the most trafficked swimming pool website in the world. It saved the business. We get about 600,000-700,000 visitors a month. We're manufacturing pools as well now. And I went on to start a consulting and speaking company called The Sales Line, as you mentioned. And that's just been amazing as well. We've been able to replicate that success with River Pools and multiple other industries, B2B, B2C, service, product. It's just been awesome.
Well, you know, the common lament that most attorneys offer up when talking to somebody like yourself is the argument, well, the legal industry is a little different than building pools. I don't think it is. What are your thoughts?
What's funny about this statement is if you ask 100 people in an audience full of diverse industries, you say, how many of you truly believe that your business, your industry is different? Guess what percentage will raise their hands? Of course, the answer is 100%. 100%. Now, let's say you go to two different attorneys, okay? You go to an attorney because I've worked in the law space before. In other words, I've consulted in it, mm-hmm. Okay? So I've spoken at different events, conferences. If you talk to two, three different attorneys, and if you say to that person, so you're from where? And they tell you where. And you say, would you say that having a firm in your area is more or less difficult than that guy over there? Let's say that guy over there is in a different town, different city, different state. Every single time they're going to say, yeah, it's, you know, where I am, it's very, very difficult. The person in the country is going to say, well, it's country. We don't have big cases. We don't have the clients. We don't have the options, the capabilities, the people, the resources. The person that's in the big city is going to say, it's a bloodbath. It's so competitive. And it's cutthroat, it's this and it's that. And everybody's going to explain why it's different, why it's harder, why it's this, why it's that. Now, let's get to the reality. The reality is the reason why people buy a swimming pool or choose an attorney or choose a consultant is because for some reason they trust that pool company or they trust that attorney or they trust that consultant more than they trusted the rest of them. And that is the one tie that binds everybody, regardless of what you sell, regardless of what you do. The singular tie that binds all of us as a business is because we're asking people for their money, and make no bones about it, we are, then we seek their trust. In order to get their trust, we've got to do whatever it takes to get it. And that's the thing that really is the foundation of this conversation, Neil, right? I mean, that's the essence of this thing that you and I call, quote, content marketing. But really what we're talking about is how do we engender more trust than anybody in our space?
Yeah, I think the buzz phrase that is often used around these circles is that you need to get the client or the customer to know, like, and trust you. And the bottom line is trust.
Well, you know, there's a stat that is out, which is so phenomenal. It's not new. It's a couple years old. basically, what Google and what other research groups have found is that today, on average, that roughly 70% of the buying decision is made before a prospect, potential customer or client, calls and contacts your company. And that's an amazing trend, 70%. Because if you look back in history, Neil, that number's probably, like 15 years ago, that number's probably 20, 30%.
Yeah.
Today, it's 70%. And this is why if you talk to any attorney and you say, would you rather be the first or the second person that somebody calls? Every single attorney would say, I'd rather be first. That's exactly why more and more attorneys are having live chats on their website, because they realize the importance of being first contact. Because first contact usually ends up getting, the gig, the client, assuming they're a good fit, And the thing about this is, if that number is 70% today, where is it going to be tomorrow? I mean, the fact of the matter is this. People are vetting us to death before we know they exist. Even in the world of law, where it is a shorter sometimes sales cycle, where somebody has a workplace accident or somebody has a tragedy in their life or they have a financial issue going on and they need to contact an attorney, it is fast, yes. Usually the sales cycle is shorter. But even then, more often than not, and a lot of people unfortunately shake their head over this, but more often than not, they will digitally vet you before they contact you. Even if it's a referral, they're going to go to your website, they're going to get a sense for you, and if they like what they smell, what they see, what they hear, you're going to get the call and you're probably going to win the business. But if they don't, you won't, and you'll never know that you lost the business.
Yeah, as you said, it used to be the customer would walk into the office and you'd make the impression or you'd make the pitch at that point. And if it wasn't successful, they would walk out. And you knew that you were unsuccessful. And as you say, today's day and age, you could have visitors left and right choosing not to contact you and you'll never know it.
Well, this is the same reason, Neil, you have, and I've seen this with attorneys before. I've had attorneys tell me, when I get face-to-face with somebody, they become my client. But those same attorneys are going out of business. Why? Because they're not getting enough clients. And the way you get enough is they've got to hear you, see you, and know you before you hear, see, and know them. That is where we are. And this doesn't mean that referrals aren't significant like they've always been. Of course they're significant. Just means this thing called digital, and we better get with it.
Well, you know, as we go around talking with other firms, I've been lucky enough to hear from, you know, dozens upon dozens of successful attorneys. They all say that, you know, I have a professionally designed website. I'm comfortable with the way it looks. It's got all the bells and whistles. But I'm not attracting enough visitors. I don't seem to be getting the traffic that I thought I would get with such a well-crafted website. What am I doing wrong?
See, just think about this. The statement in and of itself denotes a problem. Because if you have a good website, how many of your peers are going to essentially say the same thing? Especially in the law space, in the legal space, you've got, man, it's funny. A lot of websites look just alike. And one of the reasons, of course, is there's, you know, web design companies that just build legal law firm websites. And so they all start to look kind of the same. And everybody's got the picture of the firm and everybody's got, you know, the this and the that, and it's like they feel the same. And so that in and of itself doesn't give you the right to say, well, where are my customers? Because unless I come to your website, and unless I'm able to say, this guy, this gal, this company, this firm, they answer my questions better than anybody else. They allow me to see them. They allow me to understand them. They allow me to see their customers and understand them. Unless you show it, it doesn't exist. You know, at this point, you can't just say it, Neil, right? Because everybody says it. You've got to show the thing. You want to say that you've got great people, great attorneys. You have to show me the attorneys. I've got to hear them, watch them, see them, and learn from them. And this is what generates the leads. This is what generates the traffic. This is what generates the sales. Here's what's just give me a simple, like, just conceptualize this. I've got two companies. They're not massive companies at all. The swimming pool company does $8 million a year. My consulting firm, which is only four employees, small, does just over $1 million a year. Both companies have a full-time videographer. Now, 99% of CFOs would say you can't have a full-time videographer with that type of lean company. You just, there's no room for it. And they don't get it. They don't understand it. I can't afford not to because of where we are today. I've got to show it and I've got to show it well. Attorneys, law firms at this point, they need to be doing video. They need to be producing content. And whether they're doing it themselves or whether they hire somebody to work with them on staff, even if that means you have to shell out additional money so that as to get the results, it's what it means, because you can't just have a static website today and add one or two pieces of content a month and think that you're going to get traction.
Interesting. Well, you know, let's roll back then just a bit, because I wanted to talk to you about video, because I will note that when I visit your site, it's video galore. I mean, it's me personally, I respond to video a lot better than I do to the written word. So I don't want to read a long blog entry. I'd rather watch somebody's video. And like you said, your sites are chock full of not just informative, but really entertaining video, engaging video. So, but let me step back from that from just a bit. For those in our audience who are kind of a little bit lost, can you kind of give us a conceptual understanding of what content marketing is? Is it just blogging? Is it just video, or what is it?
I think when we look at this phrase, it's been butchered up pretty good by marketers. And the biggest struggle that businesses and organizations have right now is when it comes to sales and marketing, is you have complete misalignment, right? Most don't understand this shift that we've talked about of the 70%. Because of that, marketing is the redheaded stepchild of the company. And part of this is because we haven't explained truly what it is. So content marketing is your company's ability, or in this case, your firm's ability, to be the best and most helpful teachers in the world at what you do. The best and most helpful teachers in the world at what you do. And the way, of course, that you do this, quote, teaching, solving problems, is through text, through video, in your case, audio as well, as you've well established, Neil, in your space. And the idea is that if I have a question, if I have a concern, if I have a worry, if I have an issue, a doubt, that instead of calling you directly, that I can come to your web platforms, be it social, be it website, whatever, and I can get that resolution. I can read the thing or watch the thing and nod my head and say, ah, okay, now I understand. Now I get it. And that is the essence of content marketing.
And so for those that statement resonates with that are saying now, as I am, I get it, okay, what do I have to do to get started? I mean, like I said, I have a website, and it's professionally done. I'm buying into the idea of expanded video presence and some other things. Is it just a matter of jumping in and one step at a time, or are there some prerequisites that I need to check off?
You know, everything, and again, everything we're talking about right now, it's, you know, the book They Ask You Answer, it came out, you know, just weeks ago. And it really lays out everything that we're describing. But the biggest key to this, the magic happens when you obsess over the questions you're being asked every single day. So usually what we'll do is we'll do a brainstorm exercise and we'll just say, what are the questions you are asked every single time? When somebody comes through here and let's say you just break out your different services or types of cases that you have. And let's say one is a workplace accident, right? So somebody's experienced that. They've either experienced it or they have a loved one that's experienced it. There's a set, again, it's going to sound like I'm beating a dead horse here, but this is critical. There is a set of questions and fears that whenever an attorney talks to somebody like that, they hear every single time. We call that the 80%. So the 80% are the questions that you hear almost every single time when you have a quote, we'll call it a sales appointment or a consultation or whatever you want to call it. When you meet with a potential client the first time, 80% of the questions they ask you are the same as the next person that's going to meet with you that had a workplace accident. And so the idea is that instead of them asking you those, they're saying, so Neil, you mentioned on your video this, this, and this. That was super, super helpful. So I got a more specific question about that very thing. See, that is what we're talking about right now. But it starts with the willingness to address those through text and through video as much as possible.
Well, those frequently asked questions are a great source of as a jumping off point for just what you're talking about. Every attorney, I'm sure, has, just as you said, a list of questions that they get tired of answering. You know, how long does it take for my divorce to take place? Is my spouse likely to get custody of the children in this scenario? And so on and so forth. So as a good starting point, addressing those questions sounds like at least a fair place to go.
Yeah, well, and see, here's the problem. The problem is a lot of people will hear this and they'll say, yeah, but you see, that's where I do my magic, Marcus. My magic is when I'm face-to-face and I answer those questions better than anybody else. The flaw with that thinking is is believing that every one of those people came to you and said, yes, let's have the conversation, because you can't track the losses. Like you mentioned when we started this conversation, Neil, before you'd have the conversation with the potential client and you either knew you lost it or you didn't. And you might have been dishonest with yourself and said, oh, they didn't choose anybody, but you knew you either lost it or you didn't. Now you don't know if you lost it, because all you know is I had a web visitor, but nothing happened, and the phone's still not ringing. You've got to win the conversation on the front end. You've got to use that charm, use that wit, use that expertise on the front end. And the front end, of course, is your site. That's the front end.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. As I mentioned, I use Daylight as my case management tool, as it organizes all my cases, clients, my calendar, to-dos, emails, all in one app. And it's with me everywhere because it's on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. If I get a call from a client when I'm out of the office, I can quickly pull up the details of the case on my iPhone and then jot down some notes after the call, and it's all organized in Daylight. I use Daylight by myself on my own, but you can also use it in a team. You can track the status of cases, delegate tasks between one another, and check everyone's calendars, all without having to interrupt anyone or dig through papers. It really streams your workflow so you can work more efficiently. Managing email is a big part of how Daylight helps me. It integrates with Apple Mail, so as I'm going through my emails, I can just click and save emails to a client or to a case. That way, when I'm looking at the case details, I can see a history of all the emails with the client or any notes that I've taken and follow-ups with them all in one spot. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free for 30 days. And be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. In addition, I want to tell you about my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They build a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. And this helps me generate more referrals and more business for my firm. Their services are designed to help lawyers get better results out of the resources they're already investing into marketing and business development. They create an internet foundation that makes all of your marketing work better. That's because these days, almost every potential client is going to check out your web presence before they hire you. It's important that you create a strong first impression. And that's what Spotlight Branding has done for me, and they can do it for you too. So visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. There you've been offering a free gift for our podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE.
You know, when I spoke to a number of attorneys about their experience in terms of blogging as a source of or as a marketing resource, what I found to be the case was in a lot of situations, attorneys seem to be blogging for other attorneys rather than for potential clients.
You know, man, this is a problem in a lot. I see all the time marketers marketing to marketers. It's like, no. And this is, again, this is the essence of the ask you answer. They is the one that gives you money, okay? And so if you are producing content that is addressing these questions, issues, concerns, worries, fears, etc., it ain't about other attorneys unless you're trying to be a consultant to attorneys. But if you're trying to get cases, if you are trying to get clients that need litigation, that need an attorney, well, then you need to show that you know exactly what they're thinking, that you have been there before, that they are not alone with their fears and their questions, and that you are the person to help them. And you don't need to say, I'm the smartest, I'm the best, I'm the expert. You don't need to say that because they will figure it out. They're not dumb. They will vet you and they'll quickly get a sense if they like you or not, they like your style or not, your way of communicating or not. This is assuming that you give it to them. And the other thing about this too, if you look at it, Neil, when somebody contacts, let's say somebody contacts you on a live chat, okay? Just being hypothetical here.
Yep.
They got a lot of anxiety right now. That's the reason why they're filling out a live chat. They need to know something right now. And so let's say you answer their question on a live chat on your website, but notwithstanding, you set up an appointment for 2 or 3 days because that's what your schedule permits. Are you just going to allow them to just hang in the balance for 2 or 3 days? Because sometimes you're not around. Sometimes you could be working a case and you're out of town, you're this or you're that, you're on vacation. So are we just going to lose touch with this person for 3 days? Hopefully not. Hopefully we're going to help them love us even more. And the only way that's going to happen is if that person gives you their email maybe in that live chat moment or that phone call moment or whatever moment it was that they contacted you, the referral moment, and you now send them an email that has a video attached to it that says, look, I know what you're going through right now. And you've got a lot of questions on your mind. I produced the video that is going to walk you through that whole thing. It's almost like you and I were meeting at my boardroom right now and we were having a conversation. And if you watch this video, I promise it's going to be well worth your time. Now, most people, if they're truly going through some type of experience where they're seeking legal counsel, they absolutely would watch a video like that. But do you know how many attorneys don't do that? And here's what's sad about the attorney space, okay? A, they act like everything they do is secret sauce, which is total bunk. That's absolutely not the case. And this, again, goes back to everybody saying, yes, but the way we do it is special. No, there's a lot of great attorneys and there's a lot of bad ones. I know the game. I've been around. I have experienced this world. And the fact is, you're great if everybody sees and watches how great you are. Just like people become famous attorneys when other people get to see them in action and say, wow, that person is amazing. When they see you on giving legal counsel on TV, you become that expert. You have the ability to do it. So many are just waiting for PR moments. You can create your own PR through your website. You can absolutely do that. You can't just wait for this. You've got to be proactive about this very thing. You've got to let go of this idea of the secret sauce and you got to get it out there.
Well, do you see me hanging my head in shame? Because the scenario that you just described is exactly what I've gone through this last couple, 3 days. I was away from the office and I had potential clients call me and or contact me through my website. And it's all funneled to direct them back to a self-scheduling application, which allows them to book a consultation. And so, just as you said, 3 or 4 days went by and there was no contact from me. And when I called to confirm the consultation that they had picked, they said, "Oh, I found a solution. I'm not. I don't
need a solution." And that's because 80, the first contact in terms of face to face in the world of law, on average, the first attorney who is with the person, like gets in front of their face, has a real conversation with them, wins 80% of the time, wins a client 80% of the time, or higher. It could have gone higher by now. I mean, this is crazy, the numbers, right? Which is why things like live chat matter, which is why things like content matter. But I appreciate the fact that you're honest enough to say that, Neil. See, most people aren't honest with themselves. And they say, well, it's like I either did or didn't win their trust. In that moment, they saw you like everybody else because what you did was average. It's average to give somebody a calendar link and say, let's get together. That's a very average thing to do. It's not bad, but it's not good. It's just average. And so going above and beyond and teaching that person better in that moment would make you unforgettable. Even if they met with another attorney while you were gone, at least maybe they would have said, but this other guy, this Neil guy, man, he took the time. It's like, I'm still thinking about what he said on the video. I got to give him a shot as well.
Yeah, and I see 100% clearly how effective that would, how powerful that would be for the client who calls and says, well, Mr. Tyra's not in the office at the moment. And, you know, 20 minutes later, they get an email from me with a link to the video. That has to be powerful.
Yes, absolutely. That's impressive stuff.
How does this relate with other social platforms? I mean, can I leverage the participation on other platforms, or is it in addition, or is it all integrated?
Yeah, we just had a Super Bowl. You ever gone, like, gotten a Super Bowl party together, and there's, like, that one person that comes in and they eat a lot of food, but they don't bring any food with them to the Super Bowl party?
Sure, absolutely.
You know what I'm talking about, Neil?
I do.
Nobody likes that guy.
No.
Like, eventually he doesn't get invited back. There's a lot of people that are going to social, and all they do is eat the food, and they don't bring any with them. And that person eventually loses, in this case, we're going to call it trust, and they lose interest from the marketplace. Look, social is only as good or as bad as the content food you bring to the party. And so in this case, if you're producing video that's truly helpful, that's answering questions, if you're producing textual articles that's truly helpful, that's answering questions, well, now you've got something that you can bring to the game. Now you got something that people are like, wow, this is something I want to watch, I'll click on. And of course, the difference between video and text, you and I know, and everybody but is listening to this knows it. And one other point about video, I got to say this. A lot of people, not the majority, but there's a certain minority that are listening to this that are saying, but I don't watch videos. And the flaw with that statement is that nobody cares if you do or do not like video. Just like nobody cares if I do or do not like to read or to watch or to listen. Nobody cares. What people care about is how do they want to learn? How do they want to shop? How do they want to buy? That is the thing that we have to obsess over. And so in this case, we know that the trend far away is visual and video. They say by 2019, and that's less than 2 years away, Neil, by 2019, 80% of the content consumed on the internet, consumed, will be video. 80% video or visual-based content. I mean, that's profound, man.
Yeah.
And it should scare everybody to death. But if we embrace it, we're going to be okay.
Well, and I think the ones who do are going to be ahead of the game. You've gone so far as to bring on a full-time videographer in your businesses. Did you start out that way, or did you start out, you know?
Heck no, man. I was that guy that was, you know, doing it myself, which I commend that guy, that gal. Huge, I commend that person. And that's way better than the person that just says, I'm going to have to wait till I can be producing Hollywood. Fact is, it's always progress over perfection. And the reason why the internet is run by C+ students and the A students are working for the C-plus students is because, and I really mean it when I say that, Neil, is because...
There's hope for me yet.
Absolutely. It's because they're willing to go into it knowing that, I ain't got all this figured out. I don't have the perfect plan. You know, I'm going to fill in the circle outside of the edge of the circle because that's just where we're all headed. None of us have this figured out. You just have to look at the trend and say, okay, the trend's visual. We all recognize it. You'd have to be a total idiot not to see it. And so I'm going to do something about it. Now, for some people, that might mean I'm just going to start doing my first iPhone videos today. Great. That's a victory. Go with that until you start to develop, you know, your momentum, your skills, and the money to get maybe your first, you know, prosumer style camera, just a decent type of video camera with a decent mic. Start doing that. And then you start doing even more and more and more. All right. Oh, I got to say one other thing before I forget it, Neil, because somebody's going to be thinking it while I'm saying this. And I don't want them to disregard they ask you answer. So one of the issues with the legal space is that you've got regulations. And so sometimes what a lawyer will say is, well, you know, Marcus, I can't address that because we have regulations in my space, which again doesn't make you special because there's lots of spaces with regulation. And this is what I know. What I know is you can address any question. You can't always answer every question. There is a difference between the two. And so the key is that you're willing to have the conversation. Sometimes the answer or the way you address it is we can't give you a specific answer. Because by law, we cannot. But here's some things to look for. Now, you still address the thing. And that's why, you know, that's why, again, A versus C plus student. C plus student says, I can still go at this. I just can't exactly say the answer.
Let me talk around it.
Agree. Talk around it. That's exactly right. And you're still kosher. You're still 100% legal.
And frankly, you may cause the potential client to have an epiphany and say, oh, well, I hadn't thought about this.
Absolutely. You're educating the marketplace.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Marcus, you know, we could spend an hour chatting here, but I want to give you the opportunity to share with our listeners how they can reach you, how they can contact you, how they can find out more about your business and specifically about your new book. They ask, you answer.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm biased, but I think it's you know, it's going to be the best business book you read in 2017. And if you're not a quote, huge digital, but you know that you want to be more digital, you're going to love this book. It's written in your language, which it was originally in the language of a pool guy turned marketing guy, turned sales guy. And I think you're going to get a ton out of it. It's on Barnes & Noble right now. You can go to Amazon as well. You can get it on your Kindle. And hopefully eventually on audio as well. But you can absolutely get it on Amazon. Just type in They Ask, You Answer. You can find my website. It's thesaleslion, LION.com. You can email me, Marcus@thesaleslion, with any questions. And of course, I'm on Twitter @thesaleslion as well.
Well, again, I couldn't thank you more for taking the time to be with me today, and for our Law Entrepreneur audience. This guy, it brings it every single time. Go to his website, check out some of his keynote addresses. He's not the guy who's going to stand at the podium and bore you to death after lunch. He's going to come down into the audience and grab you by the throat and make you pay attention because you need to hear what he has to say. And if I think today proved just exactly that. And Marcus, again, I couldn't thank you more.
My pleasure, bud.
Once again, I'd like to thank our friends at Market Circle, the makers of Daylight and Spotlight Branding, for being sponsors of today's podcast. Market Circles, as the makers of Daylight, provide the tool that I use to manage my cases, my clients, my calendar, my to-dos, the emails, and they do so all in one app that stays with me on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. I use Daylight on my own in a solo environment, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases and delegate tasks to one another on your team, and you can see everyone's schedule all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools that I use to stay organized, and it increases my efficiency, and therefore it only stands to reason that it'll do the same for you and your team if you use it in a broader environment. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free. for 30 days. And be sure to let them know that you heard about Daylight through the Law Entrepreneur in order to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Also, our friends at Spotlight Branding, as always, have been very helpful in sponsoring this podcast. You know, I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to help keep me top of mind with my referral network. So visit www.spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in the law entrepreneur. So spotlightbranding.com/TLE to access your free gift. And as always, make sure that you visit our website, www.thelawentrepreneur.com, to see everything that's going on with the podcast and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can stay in the know and be the first on your block, so to speak, to gain insight into what's going on here. So once again, thanks for being here this time around. I appreciate your listenership. Hope to see you again next week on The Law Entrepreneur.